Vectus Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
That's David Bowie and Heroes, and I'm just going to pad for time now while my guest reaches behind and gets some headphones for himself, because he's been very, very busy sorting out a brand new pair of shoelaces in an old pair of shoes. See, recycling, that's what it's all about, and that's, you know, the Isle of Wight is renowned for its recycling at the moment, and you're just leading the way, aren't you? Jonathan Bacon, welcome.
Good morning. How lovely to see you after. It seems like ages since I've been in here, sat in the chair.
I think it is.
Yeah, too long.
It is too long. It was obviously way before Christmas. I think it was probably around sort of September, October-ish time.
Well, there's not been much happening since then. Not a lot to talk about. So.
Hasn't there? So how are you, first of all?
Personally, I'm very good. Radiant.
Good. Good for you. Good. You look smart today. Have you been somewhere nice?
I've been somewhere and I'm going somewhere. So,
right.
County Hall today.
Okay.
And Brading Town Council this evening. So,
okay.
Plenty happening.
I mean, seriously, you guys are busy. A lot of people give you a bit of stick for, blooming councillors, but you put yourself out there. I would imagine most nights you're doing something, aren't you?
The last few weeks, certainly around the budget, it has been maybe 18-hour days is an exaggeration, but 14-hour days. Yeah,
that's a lot.
It's a lot of it is reading, sitting in meetings. It's not always the most productive use of time, in fairness, but it all takes time, and you sometimes have to sit through a 2-hour meeting for the golden 5 minutes that actually takes something forward. But it's something that has to be done, really, if you're doing the job. You can't do the job without doing the reading, attending the meetings, logging onto the Zooms, and listening. A lot of it should be about listening. I think too many people talk too much, but the listening is, for me, the important thing often.
I've said that so many times to so many different people that have been in the last... People have lost the art of shutting up and listening. And to be a good counsellor, you need to be a good listener and you need to care. That's the two qualities you need. That's it. The other stuff will fall into place, I'm sure of it. So look, you're approaching, almost a year re-elected last May?
Yep.
So we're getting on.
Gosh, that's quite scary. I hadn't even thought about that.
So, I mean, are you regretting it?
No.
Are you regretting it yet?
If I was regretting it, I wouldn't be here.
No. So you could, I mean, just say, for instance, you get elected and you don't like it, you can always sort of say, that's it, I'm standing down.
And a few people have in the past, yes.
Yeah.
It has happened once or twice, but mostly, I think most people know what they're getting into. Maybe not all, but those who perhaps have had a little bit of a shock over the last year have just realised, well, I better just up my game then. There's important stuff to do here. Mm. And just because it's a bit harder, a bit scarier than I thought it was going to be, I'm not going to back away. And that's good. So I'd say, I think a few people have found it not quite what they were expecting.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But they're still doing it. They're still here, yeah. And they're still cracking on with it. And I think they probably have an understanding of how many hours people put in. It's a shame that, you know, the ordinary person on the street doesn't have, you know, the foresight to see that you guys... It's not just a case of you turn up at County Hall now and again. It's not just a case of you put a couple of hours in here and a couple of hours in there. It's it is like, if you're doing it properly, it's a full-time job. And you know, most of your evenings are ruined by other people wanting to talk about...
Don't put people off too much. You do get... It's not all like that. But, yeah, I suppose, in a way, what I like about it, it's not regular. In the past, when I've had regular jobs, I have got very bored. So if it's something that's different, exciting, challenging each day, and maybe you don't know what you're going to be doing in a couple of days' time, that would scare the pants off some people, I know. But I like it. So, and it can be very varied. So yesterday, for example, I was looking at a tree. Is it going to fall over or not? Who's responsible for it? Looking at a boundary dispute, talking to Southern Water about stuff to do with the coastline where I live, deciding what's happening in the next parish meeting. And that was just the morning. And this morning, totally different, talking about musical history on the island. And yeah, so it's just different stuff each day.
You'd be bored if you were doing the same thing. Let's
I'm not
be
very good at being bored.
No, exactly. So you're still enjoying it, and so on.
Yeah.
Let's just recap then. You've been given a portfolio, and just talk us through that again.
So the three headlines on my portfolio, which sound like a little bit of an odd mix, are waste, heritage, and environment. So waste, the bins, and the recycling. And I don't think we sell ourselves well enough on that, as you were sort of hinting at it earlier, but we do an amazing job here on recycling.
We do.
Both the levels of recycling and what we recycle. I spent a day over on the mainland the weekend, just off Southampton Water, and just the difference between what you can put in the recycling bin here and there. I couldn't believe it. I was helping out. I was putting some rubbish in the bin. No, you can't put that there. That has to go in the black bin. What? But this is all recyclable stuff. Not here, it isn't. And that's quite scary. And given the importance of recycling and how it feeds into all, we'll probably end up talking about climate change and so on at some point. But it's just, I find amazing how, I don't want to say backward other people are, but maybe how far ahead the island is on some things. And we try shouting about it, but it's sometimes difficult to get the message across.
I've got a great idea for that. I've got a great idea for that. But let's just recap.
Let's keep everyone in suspense, including me. Yeah.
I think, we're sort of top of the charts when it comes down to leading the way with waste and figures going into the ground. I just think that's brilliant. So
don't ask me to do the figures. I can never carry the figures around in my head, but we're certainly way up in the leagues.
Don't worry.
For the country.
I'll get Tash Dix in. She'll do all the technical stuff, all right? I mean, she's been doing a grand job, along with Amy, obviously. And I know this is the what I was going to,
This is the big reveal, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the big reveal. I've been trying to get hold of Amy, okay? Mm. I'm not knocking them, but I've been trying to get hold of them because I've got this brilliant idea that I'm going to reveal to you.
Between us, don't tell anyone else.
No.
Just in case it's good and we want to make some money out of it.
Yeah, don't tell anyone else, listener, all right? No, but they're running some kind of educational thing with Amy, and we thought, incorporate that into the 4Ps, and it's a bigger voice, it's a bigger noise, and you've got people that are, talking about waste, making podcasts, youngsters involving their parents, embarrassing them into doing things properly.
Yeah. And you've hit on a big thing there, because certainly with a lot of the education stuff, going in via the schools is a very clever way to do it.
There you go.
As soon as little Emily says, "Mum, you're putting that in the wrong bin."
Yeah.
"How dare you?" "Of course, Emily." And that is very powerful to get the children at schools to realise the importance of these things.
Gives them an even bigger voice.
Yeah.
Being part of the 4Ps and interviewing their parents and interviewing other people in the school and so on, and then it's shoved out on the radio.
Yep.
How great is that? I've been trying to get hold of them to give them that idea. No one's got back to me yet. I understand we've just had half term and people do have time off. And I know then you get back to mountains and mountains of emails from people like me. So I'm hoping they get back to me at some point. Maybe you could give them a little nudge.
Maybe I could give them a little nudge. That's a good idea.
So waste. What was the other thing? Waste and
heritage and environment. So heritage, museums, culture, and so on. And I work very closely on that with Julie Jones Evans, obviously who, because developing our heritage. So I'm going to be going to council speak occasionally. I apologise for that.
I just want to point out before you do that when you say you know Julie well. Not that well.
We work together.
Yeah. No, you meant me. You said, "Oh, you know Julie Jones well," and not that well. Okay, I just want to make that clear.
You're aware of her.
I'm aware of her. Yes.
She is your local council, I believe. So.
Not anymore. We've moved.
Of course, you have. Yes.
Not because of Julie. Well, not always. not altogether.
Now.
I don't know who the guy is. It's I'm Lever. Is it somebody Lever? Is it Joe Lever?
Joe. Yes.
Yes. I think he's
Joe,
the chap.
He's one of our group. Who's very good. I encourage you to meet him.
Well, you can pop him around for a cup of tea if he's in the area.
I'm sure he will.
I'll talk him through what needs doing.
He's vegan. I don't know how to have vegan tea. Oh, and this is one of these things I'm finding out about.
We'll meet him somewhere else then. But anyway, you were going to say, sorry.
I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, yes, heritage. So museum and, you know, looking at things like, I suppose one interesting project in relation to Newport is what's going to be the future of the Guildhall. Because that is a major heritage asset, a major architectural asset, and it's sitting there, not quite falling apart, but it's a matter of time. As I think people know from the press, we are now an area that the Arts Council has said you're a priority area. We want to help you, and I suppose people's initial reaction to something like that is, oh well, that's just about highfalutin paintings and. Well, my French arty-farty stuff, but it's not. It's actually about supporting a lot of things that could help the community and bringing back old buildings, heritage to life that, you know, could give a major boost to Newport Town Centre. It's really odd, I find, that Newport, apart from that little museum, we don't have a tourist attraction as such in Newport. Well, we have the Roman Villa, which is just outside.
I suppose, but, what do you call Carisbrook then?
Well, I mean, in Newport, in our county town.
In the town, right.
Yeah. Yes, we have Carisbrook nearby.
Yeah.
But in Newport High Street, in the high street of our county town that is currently looking to be made a city, we'll see if that happens, but we don't have a tourist draw in our main city, in our main town on the island, and I find that very odd.
What could it be, then? You're talking about the town hall, which, you know, in its day it looked spectacular, and it still could now. But what could it be? What could be the draw?
I think we could look at a modern, not so much, you know, you say museum and a lot of people switch off. But if you talk about an experience, I mean, something I would love to see is something that properly celebrates our music heritage on the island. We've got some little exhibitions. We've got that wonderful little exhibition over at Dimbola. But if we had something that celebrates the fact that this island has contributed an awful lot to the musical history, not just of the country, but the world. We've had the biggest music festival of its era on the island. You know, people don't think, they always think about Woodstock because they've marketed themselves so well over the year. The Isle of Wight Festival in 1970 was bigger than Woodstock and probably had a better set of people playing there as well. And it's celebrating that and what's flowed on from that. And, you know, the fact we have a very vibrant musical culture here that probably doesn't get the support it could. You get some brilliant acts breaking through, like Coach Party and Wet Leg, of course, who are, you know, selling out shows in America now.
New single today.
Yep.
Angelica.
Absolutely.
Go and buy it.
But to be able to give some further support and exposure to that massive pool of talent we have in the island. We are, in the same way we're, you know, we don't shout enough about recycling and other things. We don't shout enough about some of our heritage and the fact that we just seem to inspire a lot of art and talent, and that is good for the island generally. It's good economically. It's good for a well-being factor as well. The reason I was a little late coming in, because I said I'd be here a few minutes before 12, I was speaking to a chap I know who organises sightseeing tours for American tourists and comes around and shows them partly on the island but partly elsewhere in the country, here's some famous locations. And he was aware of some work I did for Isle of Wight Day a few years ago, where we were trying to identify, quote, famous people, cultural things identified with the island. And so I was sharing with him that work, and we had a list of about 40 people who've done amazing things on the island. Charles Dickens, Charles Darwin, you know, all the history relating to Charles I, David Bowie, first and last shows he ever played were on the island, and the list goes on and on.
I never knew that.
Yeah, he apparently his first show was at a scout jamboree that was on the island in 19 or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and his last UK show, I should say, was the Isle of Wight Festival.
What, all that time ago?
Yeah, he did play a few odd. That was his last tour, and he did a few things after that.
I never
but his
knew
last
that.
UK show was
you're right, we don't make enough of those kind of things, so we really don't.
Yeah, well, one thing this guy's doing is writing a book about, you know, Bowie's links with the island. There are other links as well. I mean, there's I think it's still on at Moncton Arts at the moment, where there's a lovely little exhibition as designer Diana Mosley, who worked with David Bowie in the 80s and 90s, and she's exhibiting some of the work in relation to that, and also the couple of pieces that he wore in various videos and so on, and they're being auctioned to help Moncton Arts. So she's using that to support the arts sector on the island. But as I say, I think people sometimes think, oh, arts, it's not for me. But just thinking, you know, some that sort of person might not say, oh, David Bowie, pop music, that's art. But it is, it's all part of culture, and it's massively influential. In fact, he's probably one of the most influential people on culture in the last century.
But how do you incorporate that into a town like Newport?
Well, I think with the Guildhall, which we were talking about, you've potentially got a shell there. What could you fill that in that would inspire people? You can have performance space, so you can bring new people forward. You can just celebrate that history, look at some of the social ideas that were behind why we had those pop festivals, why they were such an effect, what they did about changing ideas of what is culture, what is... struggling to express myself here, but you know, taking leaps forward from the sort of idea of culture and the acceptance of culture that, say, you had in the 50s to the 70s. There's just such a massive shift there. It was a major time, and the island was a key part of that. And I think with groups like Coach Party, Wet Leg and so on, Tankers the Henge, they are all still part of that forward-thinking cultural development on the island, and you know, we should be encouraging and supporting that.
Definitely,
because it feeds back into what we are.
Well, I mean, we play local music once an hour, as you know,
which is great.
And the more it's such an interesting little feature, purely and simply because you get bands from yesteryear getting in touch and sending you some stuff. We had a guy, Glyn, got in touch a little while ago and sent us a load of stuff from Choir, who were massive, and Fabba. I don't know, they were ABBA tribute, but they weren't just an ABBA tribute. They were the number one ABBA tribute band. In the end, they ended up with the two ladies from Bjorn Again. But there was loads of other bands that he was a part of, and other people have got in touch too. I mean, the revival of Cassie from the late 70s, early 80s, that went round the world, and 2 years ago during lockdown, it was some radio station in America picked up their tunes and started playing it. So, you know, I would imagine they looked at it and the Isle of Wight festival and stuff like that, and put it to, so people are still talking about it.
Yeah.
So maybe we should build on it.
And that's it. You can use that, because to say, come here and visit the site where David Bowie played his last UK show, the Doors played one of their last UK shows, Jimi Hendrix played his last UK show, and that there was such a massive cultural event and repercussions that followed that, you know, it ended up being debated in Parliament, Acts of Parliament being passed about it. There's a whole strand of history there, which, and if you look at other places in the country, they use their history to develop their current culture, but also to develop their tourist base. You know, somewhere like York, you've got York Minster, and they make an awful lot out of that. We maybe don't have something like York Minster. We've got some fantastic architecture and some very original pieces, buildings and so on around the place. But we have something in the last 1,000 years in terms of cultural significance and influence. We have something easily the equal of that.
So how long will it take to put all this together then? You know, because that's obviously, there's a lot there.
That's the golden question, because I think it's... It's something that has to happen, and there just has to be the drive and impetus to take it forward, which I think we certainly have. Certainly the group that I work with in County Hall, this is all important stuff, and we want to take it forward. Yes, we will keep doing the basic stuff, and you know, the important essential services, but we have the potential, particularly when we're attracting people like the Arts Council, to say, you know, got some good ideas, we'll fund them. We think you're worthy of support. So let's just milk that for all it's worth. And as I say, I think it's just about having the right impetus with the right mindset to do that. And we've got that. So I'm not going to put a time on it because I don't know. But as soon as we can just get everyone supporting it, and part of that is the public coming in behind these things and saying, yeah, we can see the value of that. It's a good idea. Let's take it forward.
Can we clarify that? Because there will be people now saying, you just had the budget, you've made cutbacks on this, this and this.
Yeah.
You know, people's health will be, affected by some of what went on in the budget and so on. This is money from a budget. This is money that's being given elsewhere as part of a different kind of funding.
What we need to do is get, if we're going to talk politics for a moment, is to get much more intelligent about bringing new money in. I think we've had too much in recent years. And indeed, when I was previously in the council, I hold my hands up to that, of just trimming the budget, trying to do what we were doing before, but with less. And the phrase that's been used by some is managing decline. And yes, I think everyone has been guilty of that. But we just have to see that that can only go so far. Where does that you end up like the Usland bird if you carry on like that? So we need to start looking for where we can get new money to come in, and we're starting to have some success with that, with East Cowes, with the Arts Council. But we've also got to think how we organise our business so that we actually not just spend money but make money. And so if we can use some of that funding we can get in to develop somewhere like the Guildhall, that could be a major attraction if it's done right, if it's done as an experience that will attract not just national but international visitors. And that could be a moneymaker for the island, enabling us to do more projects.
Is it big enough, though? Do you think to make the money that you want? Is it really big enough?
It's surprising how much space there is in that building.
Because it's not like the Portsmouth Guildhall, is it? I mean, that's massive. No. That's huge.
Yeah, no, we're not going to have a 3,000 seater venue in there. But then, conversely, you've got somewhere like Ryde Town Hall, which again, the moves are now there to take that forward and bring that back into active use. Again, it's not a 3,000, 5,000 seater. But it still gives massive potential for stuff to be done in the island.
I remember seeing gigs down there years ago, and it was fabulous. It was really, really good. Obviously, we have some brilliant theatres, and you just wonder how on earth did Ryde Theatre get into the mess that it did. You know that we all know what it was like. Mm. You watched it deteriorate over so many years, and you think, well, crikey, what?
So let's turn. So the idea is to just start turning that sort of stuff around, not just saying, oh well, there's only so much money. We're just going to have to carry on down this line. We're going to have to follow this idea of austerity. Can't have nice things. Nice things are good, but nice things can also beget more nice things. It was said we had an operational Ryde Theatre, a Guildhall, and we've got talks about what we could do at Newport Harbour, developing new cultural centres and so on there. Once you can get a ball rolling, then the world's your oyster.
Do you have to now judge what people really want? And how difficult is that? knowing how things
are changed.
You're
never going to please everyone.
No, you're not. You're never going to please everyone. But just to chuck something at you, let's talk about entertainment. No, I don't think anybody would be tired of seeing a local band at a local pub or the Guildhall. Mm. I don't think that will ever happen. But that being said, we used to have 35 nightclubs. Now we've got one. So is that entertainment side of things, has that died? Is that gone now? Are we going to revitalise it? Well, yeah, let's hope so, because people did go out and have a good time. Yeah. But now it's kind of, you look at it and think, things have changed. So how much more difficult is it to judge what people really want?
That's a really interesting... nightclubs, you're speaking to the wrong person. I'm trying to remember when I last went into one.
Sure.
My daughter's 18 now. She's studying in London, and she loves it partly because there is that nightlife. And I think, maybe not for her, she went where she needed to go for her course, but some are saying, I need to get off the island to just experience those bits of life that aren't here. If we could bring some of that back to the island, just get that sort of a scene. There was a wonderful Facebook page a while ago which listed all those nightclubs. I haven't been to all of them, but there were Cobwebs, Barney's Roadhouse, Saney's, Goldberg.
Worked all them. I worked all them.
Let's go back. Did you do Spencer's Discotheque, Le Babaloo, Carousel? How far back do we go?
I've closed many, many a club. I've opened a few, but closed a lot.
But if you bring some of that back, then it also, I think, helps develop the economy, because the island becomes a more attractive place for younger people to stay and live. We always have this thing, which there's a lot of truth in, that people grow up on the island, they move off. If there's more to keep them here in terms of nightlife, to be simple about it, but also in terms of work and opportunity, education opportunities, you know, this ongoing idea about university, which we're moving slowly towards. Then you can now do university degrees at the college. You've got Platform One. We just need to expand on that and make the island a place not to move away from, but to move to.
Hold that thought, because I just want to say to you that I just want to clarify. I wasn't expecting you to go and open a few nightclubs. That wasn't my point is, how hard is it to judge what people want? We used to have 35 nightclubs. Now we don't have any, so the people not go out anymore. And that's happened not just during COVID. Before then, there was only one nightclub. So, you know, that hasn't changed. The COVID situation never changed the nightclub situation, but something happened with people wanting to be entertained and going out. Now I take your point that people on the mainland are a little bit different, but I used to walk around Newport and see all these people on a Friday night, 7:30, they'd be in the pubs and then they'd be down the clubs and so on. That mentality has changed. So the entertainment side of things, you know, how do we know what people actually want? I think that's a million-dollar question.
Yeah, and there might be an element of chicken and egg. Why aren't people out there? Because there's nowhere to go. You know, which way around does it work? But I think one of the key things is to ask that question, not of someone like me, who's not been to a nightclub for years, but to go to the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds on the island and say, what are you thinking of doing in the next 10 years? Why are you thinking of leaving the island? What would keep you here? What needs to be here to make you want to start your working life here, to start a family here, rather than to go to somewhere, anywhere else, to do that?
Okay.
And I can't answer that question. I don't know that.
I'm going to give you a magic wand. Right? Seriously, I'm going to give you a magic wand, and I'm going to say, right, okay, if you've got another 3-4 years before you might be re-elected, deselected, whatever, and you've got a magic wand with a bucket load of cash, not, you know, within reason, what would you do? What would you put in place?
That's the sort of question you want notice of. You want to increase the vibrancy of this island. You want to make sure that... It's not a question you can answer in 30 seconds. You want to make sure the education is there so that people want to stay on education, want to go to the sixth form, can go and do what they want to do to get the jobs they want on the island, that those jobs are then on the island, so you feed into local industry. You can't just plonk things here willy-nilly. You have to look to what the island is good at, and we're particularly good at the arts sector. We're particularly good at small high-level engineering, games development and so on. There's some amazing stuff goes on this island. Again, it's not well known enough about, but if we really promote those sectors and promote the understanding of our younger people, not trying to sound patronising, that they can do that here and create the rest of the life they want on the island, whether that is nightclubs, nightlife, having the right shops, having the right things they want to do at the weekends, and just bring that here so that we become a younger island, a younger, fitter, leaner island that is attractive to that age group, rather than being seen as a retirement isle, then And it's been done elsewhere. It's been done in places like, I suppose, Brighton's a good example, isn't it? That's somewhere that is seen as a very young, vibrant, hip place to be. And I'm showing how unhip I am by using the word hip. Then, you know, to do that, you need to have the buy-in of the people who are going to primarily benefit from that, and that is the young people. And I think they're too often excluded from the process, or we have a process that they just say, I don't want to get involved in that, I can't be part of that decision-making process. So how do we get them involved and get them involved in an early enough stage so the 12-year-olds can, who are starting to think about their life in the wider world, can say, well, I'm looking forward and I'm not seeing this, and I'd want to see this on the island. I'd want to see this as an opportunity that's available to me.
I totally get where you're coming from, but I also think, man, you've got a job and a half, because the sad thing is, and this is the sad thing, and I don't want to pour cold water on anything, the majority of people on the Isle of Wight are of a certain age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been said many times that if you have, if the Isle of Wight was a country, we're the oldest country in the world. And you just look at that and think, yeah, but all those things you want to do, yeah, okay, the culture side of things should appeal all round. The nightlife and going out, that should appeal to many, not just young people. It's such a difficult thing. And it's, I would imagine, to find out what young people want, we need to talk to young people. So have you got a group of people that are around you working and pumping you for ideas and saying, right, we're going to, how about this?
I think that's something we should develop. I mean, we've got things like a youth parliament, but you say youth parliament, that's a turn off to start it, using the word parliament.
Yeah.
So it's how to do that in a clever way. You say about our demographic, but it's interesting. Yes, we do have a retired element on the island, but we also have a group of, say, like me, over 50, over 60, who do not just want to sit down and watch Countdown of an afternoon, but
is that still on?
I believe so. I watch Bargain Hunt if I'm at home at the day. But we have an amazing volunteer culture here. And a lot of those people who are part of that are people who have a little more time on their hands, but they don't just want to sit down. They want to do something. A lot of the libraries, help organisations, advice organisations, they use that body of people, and there's a vibrancy there that, while it might not be the source of the ideas we need, it's certainly a source of support and can see what is necessary for the island. So it's interesting, because I think that is something, I'm not going to say unique to the island, but special to the island, that we do have a very, it always comes back to this idea about creativity, an active, creative set of people at all ages who can see the benefit of a good idea, a good project, and something that's worthy of supporting. I mean, last night I was part of a meeting, Braiding Community Partnership, which runs the youth club, oversees the youth club there. We don't run it day to day, those are people, you know, my sort of age, a little bit older, some of them, who just see this as an important part of the community and are prepared to give their time to support that, staff it, and make sure it is successful. And to say, I think that's something that we have a lot of on the island.
And yeah, we do.
And we could make a lot of.
It's a fantastic spirit. And I wish you good luck with that, because I know that it's a mountain of a job. It really is. I mean, I look at it and think, we are the Festival Isle. Maybe we build on that. We're known for our festivals, and it's not just music festivals. There's lots of different festivals. So maybe there's something that we can have in the town that is befitting of what you're saying about that, you know, incorporating the Guildhall and local music. There's lots of things I want to ask you.
I'm going to mention one if you give me a chance.
Yeah, that's fine.
You look as if you're trying to press a button.
Don't say it like that. No, I'm not. Don't say it like I don't give you a chance.
You've always been like that. No wonder I don't work here anymore. One thing I spout off a lot about in the press is the biosphere. We were awarded the status of UNESCO biosphere a few years back, and that recognises that we have an awful lot of good stuff here. This is a place where environment, culture and people work together well, or the tools are there to enable those aspects of the place to work together well. I think we don't make enough of it, but part of what I'm doing is to incorporate that idea of what the biosphere concept supports. And there are these things that I think the Observer paper usefully printed the little chart of the UNESCO Sustainable Development Goals. You know, starts off no poverty, but it's also about quality of marine life, quality of environment, and you can go on again. I can never remember the entire list in my head. But if you look at that, we're trying to ingrain that into what we do. And that very much feeds into the sort of ideas we're talking about in this hour, that if people council initially, but alongside that, businesses, other organisations are recognising these are the things we should actually be concentrating on developing, that we've been recognised we've got the potential and the capacity to do. So let's actually drive towards achieving them. And, you know, what better one than to start off with no poverty, making sure we've got sustainable food supply, making sure we maintain the quality of our environment, making sure we've got good education. And if we just make sure those aims, those ideas are key to all our thinking, then it's maybe the wrong word, but it's almost insidious. We get that thinking, we get that mindset in place. So when people come up with an idea or a thought comes up, yes, but how does that support our environment? How does that enable our tourist industry? How does that make sure that we keep the quality of our water supply?
All those things you just mentioned are really vital. They're essential. Yeah. They're so essential at the moment. Even more so now. They really are. But look, we're running out of time, and I've got to ask you a number of questions. Otherwise, people will think you got off lightly. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you that one.
As long as it's not geography, I'm not very good at geography.
Yeah. Obviously, lots of things happening at the council. Lots of, you know, lots of talking points and so on. One of the ones that struck me most of all was John Metcalfe leaving. How much of a loss is that going to be? Because he's been at the council now for how many years? 25, 30 years?
At least 25. Yeah. John, it will be a big loss. It's a big hole to fill. You know, when I was leader of the council a few years back, that's actually the point at which John was appointed as chief executive, and he got that post for a reason. And he is a big loss. He has been, to me, if I talk about it from my personal perspective, he was very supportive. I had a lot of ideas, maybe something a bit crazy, maybe you know, the sort of things we're talking about. But he would be the voice of reason saying, you know, maybe just think about that. But if we could see the sense of idea, well, how do we do this? You know, these sort of things then hit the political wall sometimes if you haven't got control, you haven't got good control of the council. That's always something that comes into the picture. But in terms of being positive and being a force for wanting to take things forward and moulding ideas, testing ideas and saying what's the best we can do here, Cumbria are going to be very, very lucky.
It is going to be a sad loss, like you say. I mean, it's sad that he's going. Why is he going? You think, who's upset him then? You know, that's the first thought. So you think, who's upset him then? Why does somebody leave that's been there for 25 years, that's got the Isle of Wight Council in their blood, want to clear off to a cold Cumbria? No offence, Cumbria, but...
Well, John's not leaving the island. His job's changing, but not where he lives. I don't think that's a state secret, but there's an amazing opportunity for someone with John's abilities in Cumbria, because they are at the point of creating new authorities up there. And I, knowing John as I do, and the way he has that sort of thing, he's not very good at being bored. He has to be looking at new ideas and taking things forward. There's really a very strong opportunity for someone like that up there.
Well, we wish him well.
Yeah.
I've got one more thing, and maybe we end up on this, and that is, you know, I get so cross with politics. I get so cross with councillors, politicians, MPs. You know, we're all doing our bit decently, and then we have to sit and watch things that unfold. And this week, and you can take this back to whoever you've got to take this back to and say, hey, look, come on, it's about time we started, you know, I don't know, being better than we are.
Yeah.
I look at Michael Lilly this week, and I think first thing he did this week was issue a press release asking for Heroes of Ride for the Queen's Jubilee. And then the next thing we're reading, he's having to be removed from a meeting because he can't control himself, along with another councillor. Now, I might be talking out of turn, but I look at that and I think I'll speak on behalf of a lot of people. Clean up the act. We want it to be decent. It's no wonder all this nonsense is going on around the world. We can make a difference in our own area. Surely we just got to be better, kinder to people and do the right thing.
I think you're absolutely right. And if the world is telling us anything at the moment, it's that bullying and intimidation is not the way in which you should try and achieve anything. It just leads to pain and damage. And I'm afraid that's happening in the wider world. We're getting that in the council at the moment. And it makes me very cross and very sad to see that. And I hope it will stop soon. How we achieve that, I don't know. I haven't got the silver bullet in my head at the moment as to what the cure to that is. But again, it's that thing, if we all recognise we need to stop and change. And I think this happened some years ago when we had a lot of those things going on with cash for questions and expenses and so on. And there was a bit of a mindset there. People just got fed up with what they found out was happening. And we're hitting that sort of point now in behavioural terms. We've had lots of isolated... we've had lots of instances over the years, but we just seem to be hitting that point where it's all happening together and it's creating a situation which is making things difficult. It's difficult to be a councillor at the moment in that situation. Goodness knows what effect that is having on people who might be thinking, I want to be a councillor, I'd like to try and help, but do I want to get involved in that? But it's also not good for the staff in a body like this, that you've got a bunch of children messing about on the top table who they are supposed to take their strategic and political lead from. The politicians. You know, what would you think if you were working in an organisation where you see that as the leadership of the place?
Life's bad enough around the world, which we can't change, but we can change our own little bit of it. And when you see people that have been elected behaving in the way that they're behaving, I just look at it and think, what a sad indictment that is.
But it's best way to change something is to recognise you need to change it.
And let's be honest, I'd say to those people, take a good, long, hard look, and you will realise that you've all got something in common, and that's the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
And to do the best thing for the Isle of Wight. Now, if somebody wants to do something and it's slightly different, you just got to accept that. Just accept that somebody else's thing, but they still want the same thing, the Isle of Wight to flourish. And that's maybe the one thing that unites us is the island. And maybe just see that now and again.
So, Councillor Mac.
You've asked me before and I'm not going to. For that reason.
I'd like to think that's what I've been my mantra as long as I've been doing this. I've been a parish councillor since 2006, councillor since 2009 with a few breaks in there. You're absolutely right. And unless you pull back and see that bigger picture, you're not going to be able to do all those big things and take forward those big ideas because you just end up in a slanging match over something meaningless. Or just someone doesn't like someone got out the wrong side of bed in the morning, and it all means that those good aims for the island, for what we could do for our young people, just don't get stymied, and it's sad.
Did Joe Cox's life mean, have we forgotten about that already? That's exactly what I would say to people. You know, this lady said, what was that wonderful thing she said, we have more in common than divides us. And, you know, she died and we've forgotten all of that. We've just gone, you know, things have just gone really, really stupid. We just get aggressive. We don't know how to control ourselves and we forget where we are, who we are and what we're actually supposedly fighting for. I just think it's a ridiculous situation we find ourselves in. And I would say, take the message back, clean up the act. People aren't happy and they won't encourage younger people to come forward. to want to be councillors. Why would they want to? Where's the role models? Give us a role model from the council. The councillors that have been elected in the last 12 months or so, give us a role model. Not somebody that we look at and think, you're a joke. Not you, Jonathan. I'm not saying that to you. But, I mean, that's the way people are feeling.
Yeah.
And I think it's high time we looked at that, took a good, long, hard look at ourselves and think, we're getting this totally wrong. We really are. Yeah. We've got one thing in common, the Isle of Wight.
And as you say, took a good, long, hard look at what people are thinking and saying. And just look wider. Don't just look in on ourselves, because that is just... Well, we're seeing what that is leading to.
Hey, look, it's great to spend some time with you. Sorry, it's a bit of a downer at the end, but you know, we'll see you again in a few weeks' time.
I hope
maybe.
So. Yes, right. I'll try not to be so long.
Don't be
long
late
away.
For that meeting.
I will be whizzing across to County Hall any second now. Yeah,
and it's raining. thank you, Councillor Bacon, and we'll see you soon. Take good care of yourself, Jonathan.
Thanks.